Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the Book of Romans. Good morning, friends and faithful listeners. Today we're going to be discussing Romans chapter 2, verses 17 through 29. And this is going to be very in-depth. Once again, we're going to be talking about hypocrisy. We're going to be talking about the heart. We're going to be talking about circumcision. And we're going to be talking about legalism today. So it's going to be a longer episode than normal, but I am excited to get into this and talk about everything. So grab your Bible in the version that you prefer, but I'll be reading out of the WEB as I always do. Once again, this is Romans 2, 17 through 29. Grab your cup of coffee and let's read together. Indeed, you bear the name of a Jew, rest on the law, glory in God, know his will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourselves are a guide of the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of babies, having in the law the form of knowledge and of the truth. You therefore who teach another, don't you teach yourself? You who preach that a man shouldn't steal, do you steal? You who say a man shouldn't commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who glory in the law, do you dishonor God by disobeying the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, just as it is written. For circumcision indeed profits, if you are a doer of the law. But if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. If therefore the uncircumcised keep the ordinances of the law, won't his uncircumcision be accounted as circumcision? Won't the uncircumcision which is by nature, if it fulfills the law, judge you, who with the letter and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. All of Romans 1 was talking about people who sin very publicly and even teach other people to do those public sins and how God is going to judge that. But all of Romans 2 is talking about hypocrisy. Basically, people who condemn the people talked about in Romans chapter 1 who are doing all these outward sins, but yet those same people who are doing the condemning are doing all of those same sins, but just in their heart or in different ways. And Paul is saying, look, if you do these sins in any way, shape, or form, whether they're outwardly or in your heart, then you are guilty before God, and God is going to judge that. So now in verse 17, Paul's going into this a little bit more in depth. He's specifically now talking to the Jews. He says, indeed, you bear the name of a Jew. You rest on the law. You glory in God. You know his will, and you approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law. So Paul is very, very good at giving somebody a compliment before he just lays down the hard truth on them. We've seen this in the book of Acts. A lot of times when Paul begins his sermons, he starts out with something nice about the person he's speaking to. He'll say, oh, you guys, you know, you're excellent at what you do. So I'm excited for you all to hear what I'm about to say. And Paul is doing the exact same thing here. He's saying, you know, you Jews, you do many good things. You have the law. You know God's will. You approve of things that are excellent. You approve of things that are taught from the Old Testament law. And all of these things are good. And then Paul drops the truth bomb. You are confident that you yourselves are a guide of the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of babies, having in the law the form of knowledge and of the truth. He's like, so, you know, you guys do a lot of good things and you also think you're really great. He's like, you think that you correct the foolish. You think that you teach babies. You think that you are a confident guide of the blind. But are you really? He says in verse 21, you therefore who teach one another, do you teach yourselves? You who preach that a man shouldn't steal, do you steal? And man, what Paul is writing here is so pertinent to today. It's just timeless. what Paul is writing here. Because look at all of the preachers that we have here in the United States that suddenly are involved in a sex scandal or suddenly involved in embezzling money or something like that. And we hear about these preachers that were so good or so famous or doing such great things or something. And then all of a sudden they're going to jail for some huge crime. We hear about this all the time. And that's because they are doing exactly what Paul is saying here. They are teaching other people, but they are not living by what they are teaching. For example, actually, in my tiny little town that I live in currently, there is a very small church in the village square. And it turned out that the pastor of that church was actually raping his daughters for the majority of their lives. And this guy went to jail, obviously, and thank goodness. And now, I just read in the newspaper a couple weeks ago that this guy, this supposed pastor, is now trying, he's appealing to try to get out of jail early because he's apparently changed. And I read the entire story. I read it to my husband, and we were both like, what an absolute creep this guy is. Clearly, he has not changed at all because he isn't even willing to carry out his full sentence in jail. He's trying to only do like 2 years of prison time for what he has done to his little girls. And I find that absolutely sickening. But that is exactly what Paul is talking about here. And this doesn't just go for pastors, by the way. This goes for anybody who is teaching another person how to live. This goes for parents teaching children. This goes for Bible study leaders who are teaching other people. This goes for me, who is doing this podcast for you guys. Anybody who is telling another person how to live or preaching or teaching somebody needs to be very careful with how they're living their lives, especially parents with children, because children are going to see that hypocrisy. Something I get kind of passionately angry about are parents who never went to church until they have a child. Then they decide that church will be good for that child. And so the parents reluctantly go to church and send their kid to Sunday school and just kind of attend church specifically for their kid. That drives me absolute nuts because that child can see that their parents do not want to go to that church. And that is why the majority of children fall away from the church once they graduate. But the kids that do stay in church have parents that are actively involved and who are volunteering and who are enjoying the church. Those kids stay at the church. And you know why? It's because they can see that their parents are not being hypocritical. Because if parents think that church is only good for their kids and they don't really need it, why would the kid think that they need it? If parents truly want kids to stay in the church, then the parents themselves have to know that they need it for themselves, not just for their kids. But anyway, that was kind of a rabbit trail. However, the point still stands. This applies to everybody. So people who preach that a man shouldn't steal, do you steal? People who say a man shouldn't commit adultery, do you commit adultery? And as we know from what Jesus said about committing adultery, adultery is not just the physical act of cheating on your spouse. It can be the internal act. So if you see somebody that looks a little sexy and you're lusting after that person and you are married, that is adultery. Unless, of course, that person is your spouse that you're ogling at. It's adultery because you are lusting after another person in your heart. If you are viewing pornography, I also believe that that is an act of adultery. And I know a lot of people get so worked up over pornography because they say, oh, it's not really that bad. But scripture does not qualify whether or not the person you are lusting after is on a screen or not. All it says is if you lust after a woman in your heart, you are committing adultery with that person. So that means that it doesn't matter if that person is on a screen or not, because the person on the screen is a real human being. That person is alive somewhere. That person exists, and you were lusting after that person. And I believe that this applies even if you are watching pornography with your spouse. God created the man and the woman to be together, to enjoy each other in that sexual relationship. Not for the man and the woman to enjoy lusting after other people together, even if you are doing it with your spouse, because ultimately it is going to hurt your relationship. But what's especially egregious is if I, for example, were telling you all of this. I was saying, like, don't watch pornography in your bedrooms because it is an act of adultery. And yet I was watching it in my spare time and you guys didn't know about it. That would be egregious. That would be me being a hypocrite because I am telling you how to live and yet I am not doing the exact thing that I know I should be doing. Instead, I'm doing something that I know to be wrong. That is what Paul is talking specifically about here, is these people and these pastors and these leaders and these teachers who are telling people like, hey, don't live in this lifestyle, but then they're caught in a sex scandal in some way, shape, or form. And all of that causes people to dislike the church. Even Paul says that right here. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. And that was written in Ezekiel 36, verses 22 through 23, which says, therefore say to the Israelites, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name that you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. So Paul is saying, like, look, because of the hypocrisy, you are profaning God's name. And that is absolutely true. Like, when we hear about these pastors going to jail, that looks so bad. That looks so bad for Christianity as a whole. People look at that and they're just like, oh, these Christians, they're so prudish. They tell us to do this and that, and yet they can't even live by what they're telling us to do. That is what people think. And it's the absolute truth. And even Paul here was having the same exact problems back in his day as we are having now. But moving forward, Paul talks about something a little bit different. The Jews were very big on circumcision because circumcision was the first promise that God gave to Abraham. God told Abraham to circumcise himself and all of the males in his household. And that would be a lasting covenant between the children of Abraham and God forever. And of course, the Jews are the children of Abraham. So Paul says in verse 25, circumcision indeed profits if you are a doer of the law, but if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So what that means is that ultimately the circumcision was not what is going to save the Jews. Because the Jews believed that if they were circumcised and also if they were considered Abraham's children, that they were automatically going to heaven. And I do believe that to this day, a lot of Orthodox Jews still believe that, actually. They believe that because they are from the line of Abraham, that they are automatically going to heaven. And so Paul is arguing against this. He's saying, look, circumcision is not what saves you. It cannot save you. If, therefore, the uncircumcised keep the ordinances of the law, won't his uncircumcision be accounted as circumcision? And this is an excellent point that Paul is making here, because don't forget that God chose Abraham before Abraham was even circumcised. So it wasn't the circumcision that saved Abraham. It was Abraham's faith. And for some reason, for the past few days, I keep When I'm doing my personal reading, I keep hearing about Abraham in my personal reading. I was reading the book of Hebrews. I was reading either 1st or 2nd Corinthians the other day. And like Abraham just keeps popping up. And it's always talking about Abraham's faith specifically. Abraham's faith was what made him right with God. Not his circumcision. It was his faith that made him right with God. So if somebody who isn't circumcised started following God, following Yahweh, as best as they possibly could, then obviously Paul is arguing that God would accept that person because it's not about the circumcision. It's about the faith that that person has. It says, won't the uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfills the law, judge you, who with the letter and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? So Paul's like, for those of you who are circumcised, it doesn't matter if you're not following the law. In fact, you're going to be judged because you are saying that you are a Jew. You are saying that you're following the law. You are doing all of the right outwardly things like getting circumcised, but you're not doing any of the things that really matter. You're not really having faith. You're not really trusting in God. You're not really following the law. And once again, that is very true nowadays. Obviously, like, circumcision isn't as big of an issue nowadays as it was back in Paul's days, especially among the Christian circles. But there are other things that Christians are doing that are so legalistic that Christians think are making them right with God. For example, I grew up in a very legalistic church myself, where women had to wear skirts down past the knees, and we had to wear, you know, like, button-up shirts that were practically turtlenecks, and we had to wear pantyhose every single Sunday, and there couldn't be any drums in the church service, and it could only be a piano and a choir. And if you listened to certain types of music, or if you read a different version of the Bible that wasn't KJV, then this church would be like, how can you possibly love God if you are doing those things? So legalism is still alive and well to this day in many, many Christian churches. I know some people who will call themselves their denomination before they will call themselves a Christian. I actually wrote about that on my blog post, on one of my recent blog posts. I'll link that in the description of this episode if you didn't read that one yet. But I talk about how we shouldn't be identifying ourselves with whatever denomination of church that we go to, whether it's Lutheran or Baptist or Catholic. We should be identifying ourselves as Christians, because Christian means little Christ. And that is what we are supposed to be like. We are supposed to be imitating Christ. That is what Christian means. The imitation of Christ. We are not Christ ourselves, but we are doing our best to imitate and to live the way that Christ calls us to live. That's what we should be identifying ourselves as, not as our denomination, because that's basically the same thing that Paul is talking about here. These Jews were identifying themselves with their circumcision or with being Abraham's children, but they should have been identifying themselves as believers in Yahweh. So, reading verse 27 again, won't the uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfills the law, judge you, who with the letter and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And the circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Now, if you've ever heard the term new Jew before, I think this is where people get it from, is from this passage of scripture, because sometimes Christians will call themselves the new Jew. Now, personally, I don't know how much I agree with the term new Jew exactly, but what Paul is trying to say here is that it's not about the outward appearance. It's all about the heart. We can't be hypocritical and tell people how to live and do something different inwardly or secretly. We have to live every aspect of our lives as a Christian. We cannot compartmentalize things. We can't say, oh, I'm a Christian on Sundays, but not at work the rest of the week. Oh, I'm a Christian most days of the week, but not when I'm home in my bedroom. Oh, I'm a Christian, you know, sometimes, but not other times, not in front of this group of friends. We cannot do that. We can't just take on the appearance of a Christian and reject it whenever we want. It's all about the heart. And that is what Romans 1 and 2 ultimately boil down to, is that God will judge the heart of everybody. whether they are Gentiles living a terrible lifestyle, whether they are Gentiles but are uncircumcised and have faith in God, whether they are Jews who are living by the Old Testament law, whether they are unreached people who have never even heard the law of God before. All of these people, God can see their hearts, and he will judge them accordingly to what their heart is doing. I do want to say something before I end today's episode, because on Thursday I mentioned how unreached people, God will judge them by their hearts, and how even if they've never heard the gospel or the name Jesus, that doesn't necessarily mean that they are going to be, you know, automatically sent to hell because they never heard the name of Jesus. I do want to say one more thing about that, that I didn't touch on enough. Just because God is very fair and he judges the heart and he will, you know, not necessarily throw somebody who never heard the name of Jesus in hell forever, that does not give us Christians the excuse to not evangelize. Because God tells us to evangelize. Jesus told us to evangelize. Because if you think about it, yes, even though people who have never heard the name of Jesus can see evidence of God and they even have consciences that God has given them, that doesn't mean it's still not easier for that person to hear about Jesus. For example, if you think you know the right way to do something, you might be right. But wouldn't it be so much easier if somebody taught you how to do that thing? And that is what Christians are. We are supposed to be the light to the world. We are supposed to be going out and proclaiming the name of Jesus and teaching people how to live based upon the scriptures. And so that is why evangelism is so important. And that is why Jesus tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every single creature. So hopefully that makes a little bit more sense to you guys as to why we evangelize, even though God is fair and kind and merciful to everybody. Well, faith listeners, we finished Romans chapter 2, and we are going to be moving into Romans chapter 3 on Thursday. So I hope all of you have a fantastic couple days until we talk about Romans chapter 3, or join me over on the Old Testament side of stuff tomorrow, where we are going to be talking about David going through something extremely horrific once again. So that will be a great episode tomorrow. I hope to see all of you guys there. But until then, happy listening and God bless.